Avi, how about from your perspective related to COVID-19?
We remain very active. It's been a busy year in that space, frankly. In parallel to the SEC, we've charged a couple cases out of DC and San Francisco come to mind, involving CEOs or presidents of medical device manufacturers who allegedly made false and misleading statements about COVID test procedures or so forth. So those cases remain a priority, and those are ongoing litigation. Obviously, everyone is presumed innocent at this point. And I'll echo David's caveat. I should have started with that disclaimer that all views, however outlandish, or especially if they are purely my own, not the department's. On the individual defendant front, we remain as busy as we have been over the past 18 months in PPP fraud. So we've charged to date something like 150 individual defendants across 93 cases in 28 different districts around the country. And that's a credit to our law enforcement partners around the country, our great partners at the various U.S. Attorney's offices. And it's a function of our ability to work, across different venues around the country. Seized or frozen about $75 million in assets. So that work remains ongoing. And frankly, a lot of the folks that we have charged who have not yet resolved their cases are pending trial. So I think we're going to have a very active trial docket in the coming year. I would say, while individual prosecutions in the PPP space remain a priority, we're also looking increasingly at some of the conduits by which the money actually got out, right? So lenders, processors, that sort of thing. That's going to, I think, be an area where you might see some action.
No, that's great. So maybe we turn to another topic that's been really hot over the last year or so, and that is the concept of SPACs. So David, first of all, what is a SPAC and why is it all the rage?
Well, that might require a whole panel of discussion of itself, but in a simplest term, it's basically a reverse merger, what we used to call reverse mergers in the penny stock space. We used to think those were really bad, but now in the last few years, it's become a very standard way of getting an otherwise very small and non-public company into the public sphere through the use of a public shell or public investment vehicle. And the basic, if you don't know this, you should learn it because it is very popular right now. But basically, there'd be an IPO of an entity that is, a blank check company that then goes out and has a period of time, year and a half, 2 years, to find an acquisition target. And then they acquire that target and they do another transaction, a de-SPAC transaction, that basically brings that operating entity to the public without using the traditional IPO for that operating entity. So that's a SPAC transaction in the most simplest way that I can put it together.
Yeah, and in terms of the focus, what is driving a new focus on SPACs? Because they've been around for a long time. I'm just kind of curious what's behind that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think to kind of go to the other question you'd asked and I didn't really answer, why do you do it? I mean, there are a lot of reasons I can see people do it. It's presumably faster and, depending on who you ask, less expensive than the traditional IPO. It also requires a different or permits a different kind of information to go into the public about the prospects of the business. In IPO, you're very restricted on your forecasting and your use of forward-looking information. You're really not doing that. And so in many ways, you're buying the future, almost like a venture capitalist would, of some typically startup-level company. And the reason it became significant to us is over the last 2 years or so, it's exploded. And I don't have those numbers sitting in front of me. Somebody in here may very well have it. But, where you might do that as a novelty transaction, now, at least, maybe the first quarter of this year, there were hundreds and hundreds of SPACs. And even today, there are hundreds of SPACs sitting around with billions of dollars waiting to invest. They can't even find targets anymore. So that the main thing is there's just a lot of money poured into them. A lot of companies were brought public, and it became very popular with investors.
Now, from an enforcement perspective, you know, what kinds of issues are arising out of the formation of SPACs or the, as you mentioned, the de-SPAC?
So where we have been, for the most part, with one exception I'll mention in a minute, is really just traditional misrepresentation accounting fraud. So companies that were brought, you know, that were SPACs and became, you know, a public operating company through a de-SPAC transaction, the SEC has brought cases against those companies for things they've done typically after that de-SPAC transaction. And the significance there is after that de-SPAC transaction, that's when it starts becoming really a just retail-focused company like any other company. Before that, there are a lot of private investors, a lot of private holders who, you know, may have and probably were involved with the company earlier on. So you get a different class of investor after that transaction typically. And so we're looking at it like we would any, you know, public company making false statements about its business. And a case our office brought about a month or 6 weeks ago involving a company called Nikola and its founder. It's a litigated case. I'm not going to say a lot about it. But that is a case that really fits that model. It was a SPAC, but the fact that it was a SPAC was kind of secondary to the overall case.